guess all is well. All is well.
You believe that tonight with all your heart?
We have heard message shalom. All is well.
There is a place.
Oh, sing it.
Tonight with all your heart, give the Lord a real good hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, you can beat that. He's worthy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, give him one more good hand clap of praise tonight. If you love him. Yes, all is well. All is well. We have heard the message shalom. All is well.
There is a place, a perfect rest.
Now I want you to turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. We got a lot of visitors here tonight. Just shake their hand, tell them you're so glad to have them in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Let's sing that chorus one more time. You can do a verse for me if you want to. Ready? Yes, all is well. All is well.
That woman and her son. The woman found favor with God. He gave her a son.
Thank you, Lord.
While working in the field, the little boy had died.
Oh, yes.
But the woman's
faith never failed.
Shalom,
all is well.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight while we look at our prayer requests. We got several things we need to let you know about tonight. Brother Matt Carter wants us to remember an Everett Lester in prayer. He was diagnosed with cancer of his bladder. Really needs our prayer, so we want to remember that need tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation. Brother Aaron Cobb was able to go home yesterday. He is resting and regaining his strength. Thank you so much for your prayer. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Danny Marangelo sends this in that he would want us to remember his wife in prayer, Sister Connie. She's got excruciating pain in her spine, her back. Just the Lord knows all about the need. We just commit it unto the Lord and they ask God to move on behalf of that need tonight. He's covered in your prayer, so we certainly want to remember that prayer request tonight. Sister Victoria Thomas from Georgia called and requested our continued prayers for her as she has been readmitted to the hospital with a severe kidney infection. Please pray that she will be able to overcome this and be able to get home to her family. She certainly desires to do that, so we want to remember that need tonight as we pray. We want to continue to pray for Brother Orville's brother, who is back in the hospital. They're having to give him blood, just a real serious situation. Also pray for the salvation of his soul, so let's remember that need tonight. Brother Eugene Kennedy says, please continue. If you please remember our family in your prayers. We've had several things come up that we're having to deal with, and we just need God's help. And we know that he's more than able to give us the help that we need. So we just want to commit that need unto the Lord tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you know God's able? Amen. Somebody say God's able. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's sing a little bit, just a little bit of that chorus. He's an on-time God. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? Somebody say, he is an on-time God. He is an on-time God. We believe that with all of our heart, don't we? Amen. We just keep trusting, keep believing, keep walking. Footsteps is possession. Do you believe that tonight? You've got no armor on your backside. Everything's in front of you. Christians don't run. You've got no armor back there. You're facing Satan. You're overcoming. Somebody say, I'm an overcomer. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Well, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there on time.
He's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
You gotta sing it one more time.
Children of Israel, try. thousand.
Yes, Lord.
A hungry souls are filled.
Yes, Lord.
On the banks of that river, with two fish and thousands of bread. What a miracle he performed for the Lord.
Oh, say it to him.
Oh, and what he did, pray that thing. Oh. Pray for me and you.
Pray tonight. Brother Keith, why don't you just come up here and pray over these prayer requests in your life, in my life, all of our lives. God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
He didn't make no junk. You ain't junk. You're the apple of his eye. He cares about you. He loves you more than you'll ever realize it. He loves this guy right here more than he'll ever realize it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Pray, buddy.
I've done cried enough for y'all, so let's pray, all right? Lord, I'm just very thankful to be here. Maybe not jumping, but I'm here, and that's a victory in itself. And I know that there's people that would like to be inside this building to be able to worship you and give everything that they've got, but maybe they have to stay home for one reason or another. But Lord, you're the same God, whether you're in this building or you're in their home where they're going to receive the word too. And Father, people are in the hospital and sick and afflicted. And your people, they ask them to pray. That's not a coincidence, Lord. They ask God to pray. I'm just going to say it. Your bride, it's Jesus Christ in flesh again. And Lord, I asked that the last time I was up here. Who's going to do it if we don't do it? Because that's where faith resides, in the body of Jesus Christ for these needs. And I know every time I hear somebody with cancer, it just fills me up because I'm walking that walk of faith. And I know if you can do it for me, you can do it for them. And it doesn't matter if it's cancer, HIV, or a hangnail. It doesn't matter to you. You just said, can we have faith? Yes, we can, because your faith is living in our heart. So, Father, we commit this service into your hands, these people into your hands. Father, bring the word in power and demonstration to show that this is a living gospel and that you're alive and well and on the throne and very careful to understand about your children, because you care for us and we care for you. Forgive us of our trespasses, Lord. May your name be lifted up. May your name be glorified. May you be praised, Lord Jesus, from our lips. We give you all the honor and all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we're going to receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, and we do have several visitors, would you just raise your hand if you're visiting with us here in the service tonight? Just give those folks a nice hand wherever they're at tonight. Praise the Lord. To all of our streamers, we want to say we welcome you to this service. Trust it'll be a blessing to you. Glad that you're part of our service. Even though you're not here, you are part of the service. So we got a couple of announcements tonight that we want to let you know about. If I can find them right quick. I looked at Brother Daniel Ball's face just a while ago, and I saw sadness in his eyes. Bless his heart. This is just a reminder that everyone is invited to the wedding for Sister Allison Ball and Brother James Loveall this Friday at 3 o'clock here at the church. A light reception to follow, so remember that. And Brother Daniel, we'll just be praying for you, buddy, because you're fixing to go through it, but you're going to make it. You're going to be all right. We believe that with all of our heart. Appreciate everybody here tonight. Appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. It's so good to have all of you here. We just we got a request for Little Short guy to sing tonight. Brother Johnson's going to be singing for us. I want him to be getting ready to sing for us. But before we do that tonight, that's Brother Brad's son. He's not no short guy anymore. He just growed up on us. Really growed up on us. If he wants to come on the platform, be getting ready to sing. But let's sing this song tonight. What a lovely name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You know, his name is handled so lightly and so roughly and so vulgarly with the world, with people in the world. But aren't you so glad that you love and appreciate the precious name of Jesus and that it means so much to you in your life? Are you glad that you're identified with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody say, I'm proud of it. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him.
You were the Word in the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. The hidden glory and creation now revealed.
Oh, sing it, church!
Nothing compares to this. name of Jesus.
Oh, do you believe that with all your heart tonight? Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Give Brother Johnson a nice hand tonight as he sings for you. Laura, good to see you too. God bless you. We're glad to have him here, aren't we? Praise the Lord.
It's good to be here. Certainly, what a beautiful name it is. If anything, I'm sure I could speak for y'all when I say that my desire is to be taken a little bit deeper this evening. Lord bless you. There is a longing only you can fill. A raging tempest only you can still. My soul is thirsting, Lord, to know you as I'm known. Drink from the river that flows before your throne. Take me deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I long to be deeper in love. Sunrise to sunrise, I will seek your face, drawn by the Spirit to the promise of your grace. My heart has found in you a hope that will abide. Here in your presence, forever satisfied. Take me deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I long to be deeper in love. Sunrise to sunrise, I will seek your face, drawn by the Spirit to the promise of your grace. My heart is found in you, a hope that will abide. Here in your presence, forever satisfied. Take me deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I long to be deeper in love. Sing it with me if you know it. Take me deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. take me deeper, deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I long to be deeper in love. How I long to be deeper in love.
Not only has Austin grown up, he's got a beautiful singing voice, doesn't he? Amen. Sister Roseanne, come real quickly. Sister Roseanne, if you'll come and give us a song tonight. We're going to have one more song. We'll go right on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord tonight. Are you excited about it? Are you glad about it? Are you glad to be here? Look at somebody and say, are you glad to be here? What'd they say? They said, yeah, okay. Praise the Lord. Appreciate Sister Roseanne tonight, don't we? God bless her. Give her a nice hand as she's singing. In that dark prison unafraid.
feel the warmth of love without the bitter cold. How could I hold your healing hands without affliction, or be blessed to see your mercies all unfold? Sure, it's a blessing to be safe, secure, and warm. But Lord, I want to thank you for the storm. If my life were free of trials, Lord, I'd lose my view with you. There's sweet trophies that remind me of all you do. Sure, it's a blessing to be safe, secure, and warm. But Lord, I want to thank you for the storm. I'm still safe, secure, and warm. But Lord, I want to thank you for the storm.
Appreciate your singing tonight, don't we? Amen. We was going to do a new song, bring Brother Donnie out with a new song tonight, but we just don't have the time. It's a pretty long song, but we don't have the time for that tonight. But we're going to, we'll do it, the Lord willing, this weekend. Let's stand tonight. It's time to go on into the service. Are you excited about the preaching of the word of the Lord? Yes, amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. My God is awesome. My God is awesome. Let's, we're wearing that song out, but hey, it's the truth. Only thing, I can't think of anything better to say, because I can't think of a more powerful word than awesome. Can you? He is awesome. Is that right? Somebody say glory.
Glory.
My God is awesome.
Yes, He's awesome. Oh, He's awesome. My God is awesome. My God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome. Oh, He's awesome. Yes, He's awesome. My God is awesome.
Thank you, Jesus. He's not just awesome when you're on the mountain either. When you're feeling good and all your bills is paid. And he's awesome when you're down. He's awesome when you're weary. Awesome when you're sick. He always is awesome. Most time we ain't. A lot of times we're just a mess. But our God's awesome when we're a mess. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Certainly glad to be together tonight in the house of the Lord. Glad to be back home. Had some really nice, wonderful meetings up at Brother Ron Spencer's, Brother Timothy Pruitt, and Brother Tim Pruitt. Brother Kelly Hillebrandt preached there. Really good services. The brother's done really good. Heard y'all had really a time here at Brother Chisholm. I think he was wanting to come and hold a 2-week revival on husbands and wives. Amen. God bless you. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Certainly like to welcome all of our visitors that are with us tonight. Husbands and wives are a wonderful, wonderful thing, isn't it? God made a husband and wife in the Garden of Eden before there was any government. Before there was actually even the church, it was marriage. Before there was children, it was marriage. God must rank it pretty high in his economy. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Tonight, we don't want to just look so much at the natural part of husband and wife, but the spiritual parallel between Christ and the church. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, as I said to you before, a lot of times us message folks don't like being called church. We like being called bride. But if you have an understanding, you understand that whenever the Lord Jesus established this, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. The word church, Greek and Aramaic as well, is ecclesia, which is the called out. Paul uses the same word here, even as Christ is the head of the church. So when I refer to the church tonight, I'm not talking about Laodicea and the church ages and all that, but I'm talking about the elect of God. He is the Savior of the body, and there's only one body, and that's the mystical body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What a responsibility that lays upon each of us as the people of God to fall into that category. Let's bow our heads together, if you would. You have a request, a need on your heart tonight you'd like to be remembered before the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we approach you tonight through the shed blood, we are indeed grateful for the opportunity to be able to gather ourselves together, Lord Jesus. We've not just come tonight, Lord, because it's a ritual or a routine. But Father, we have come with expectation in our hearts. As much as you've done among us, it would be a sin for us together in just mere tradition. We have seen you do such wonderful things. So God, it creates an expectation in our hearts to believe that you desire to manifest yourself among us every time we come to the house of God. Amen. So we believe for big things. We don't want to just ask for little things. But your prophet taught us to ask for big things and lots of them. So Lord, we're bringing all of our needs, all our requests, our desires, laying them right there, Father, knowing that you are mindful. But Lord, we know that sometimes our desires and our petitions might not be in harmony with your will. So more so than our desire, we want to place our desires before you where they will harmonize in the will of God. And Lord, it may be peculiar and seem strange, but to a real believer, When we pray and you say no, your no's are just as important to us as your yeses. Because if it's your will to say no to us about a petition or a desire, then actually we want no. We don't want you just to be all yes, 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 whatever we want. Because many times we ask things that's not good for us. So we want our petitions, our desires to be granted according to divine providence. Because you know best, Father. So we pray now that you would help us as we endeavor to break the bread of life. Lord, may we look at the breaking of the bread tonight and know that it's Him who walked on the road to Emmaus. And we'll be able to say, did not our hearts burn within us? We won't recognize the traits of Donnie Reagan or some other preacher, but may we be able to identify it's Christ Jesus, the same one who broke the word there. We'll give you praise and honor for you're worthy, Lord God, in Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Children, I think as the people of God, to be called the church of the Lord Jesus, the mystical body, what a great honor it really is. And I know that because many, many millions of people are called church, over 3 billion people on the earth today are identified as some form of a Christian. So when you would use the word church, let's say, well, what kind of church are you? Well, the kind I'm talking about, there's only one. You don't get into it by signing a book. You don't get into it by shaking a preacher's hand. You get into it by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But because there's all these entities that are out in the world, and they're all called church too, then people look at that, oh, well, the church this, the church that. That person goes to church and they live any other way. This person goes to church. But I'm not talking about that type of people. I'm talking about those that were foreordained before the foundation of the world. Their names were placed in the Lamb's Book of Life before there was ever even a molecule or an atom. Before there was a star, moon, universe, or anything else. Actually, before God was even God. When He was yet the invisible, immortal, only wise, you were there in His thinking. That's the church I'm talking about. Now, in that, because we are identified as being the elect of God, it puts us in a separate category than the rest of the people that are called church. You remember the church age book. He tells us that He will address them both as church. He will speak to both. But they must find their identity of actually who they are. So tonight when I talk about the church, you're going to find yourself in one category or the other. You're going to be wise virgin or unwise. You're going to be bride, filled with the Holy Ghost, ecclesia, or you're going to be a church member. You can be a church member sitting in a message church. We don't have books, but you still got the same spirit on you. But we don't want to be that way, do we? Now, the chosen of God, the real church, is called so many things in the Bible. They're called by so many different adjectives that God Himself described. They are identified, of course, in the Old Testament, the parallel of the Old Testament to the New, when God called out Israel and made them His wife. They were in this relationship by the grace of God. God called them not because Abraham was a good man, not because Abraham had a lot of works, but because God loved him. I'll show you how much Abraham had to do with it. God told him, I want you to take a ram. I want you to take a turtle dove. I want you to do all these things. And he did. He laid it up on the altar. And all of a sudden, a deep sleep fell on Abraham. And whenever he did, God came by. It was a smoking furnace and a fire. And God was showing Abraham in the covenant that He was establishing with him, a covenant which had absolutely nothing to do with the works of Abraham himself. Abraham was asleep
when God made the covenant. Well, praise the Lord. It's not based upon your goodness. It's not based upon how much you read your Bible. And yet you will read your Bible. It's not based upon how many times you pray a day. And yet you will pray. And you will live right. And you will live godly. But none of that is what your covenant is based upon. It is an unconditional, predestinated covenant made by God before you even had a right to choose. Before you even had the ability to say amen to it, God said, I have chosen you to be mine. Praise the Lord. Amen. And in doing that, then God is the one who is the overrides. Listen to me carefully. God, when need be, by sovereign grace, will even override our free moral agency when our free moral agency is fixing to get us in trouble. You see, there's many things in life that God will let us go ahead and do. But whenever there are things that's going to hinder our election in God, God time and time again has overrode man's will. You see, when the prophet of God took his gloves off and started to lay his hands on those power lines, Brother Branham's free moral agency would have took him to a grave. Praise the Lord. That's exactly right. When Jonah was in the belly of the fish, Jonah's free moral agency would have took him to the wrong place at the wrong time. But the sovereignty of God overrode free moral agency, and the will of God superseded. It's the same way with you and I. Oh, I'm glad it's that way tonight. Because if it had not have been that way, no doubt many of us would not be here tonight. But the grace of God moved when we were least deserving. Amen. I'm glad he still does the same. When Abraham, by his free moral agency, went down the land of Egypt and backslid and got away from God, done the same thing in the Philistine country. Isaac done the same thing in the Philistine country. But the grace of God overrode man's free moral agency and commanded the thing to be turned around in order that the sovereign purpose of God would be brought to pass. One of these days when we get to heaven and you look back at your life, you're going to be surprised how much it was sovereignty that brought you to the other side, and not your own desire, not your own determination, not your own ability, because every one of our abilities runs out. Our love runs out. Our desire runs out. Our ability runs out. But God's desire never runs out. God's grace never runs out. Hallelujah! God's mercy can never be exhausted to the elect of God. Never. Now, the chosen people are called actually His people. Now, as I mentioned it to you, I think last Wednesday night that I spoke on this, that actually you'll not find in the Bible that God is called the God of the Amorites, or the God of the Hittites, or the God of the Jebusites, or the God of the Canaanites, but He's called the God of Israel. That's right. Now, God called Himself that first, and then He handed down that right to the people of God that they could identify Him in their own camp by calling Him their God. You see, we might do that, but until God gives us His permission, it's only our words. But you see, when God called them and said, I am your God, and ye are my people, then He gave them the authority when they stood upon the earth to claim Him as their God. God, you got the Holy Ghost tonight. He's done the same thing to you. You see, it's not just you. Oh, praise God. It's not just you saying, well, He's my God. But He gave you the Holy Ghost, the seal on your soul. And He said, now, what I want you to do is, I want you to say, I'm your God. Because I'm saying you're my bride, I want me and you saying the same thing. Notice this in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, the parallel from the Old Testament to the New now. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. Now notice God is making the claim upon them. They are slaves, and they've been held in bondage now for 400 years, and God is not going to go down and steal Pharaoh's servants. But what God is going to do is elevate them to a higher call and a higher position in order to redeem them. So God tells Moses, you tell Pharaoh, let Israel go. Israel is my firstborn. When God claimed Israel as his firstborn, the whole game plan changed. So they are no longer slaves, but now they are the firstborn of God. Now, firstborn by title, firstborn by claim, firstborn by covenant, and God says it over and over again, Israel is my firstborn, and if you don't let my firstborn go, I will smite your firstborn. Now God took his firstborn and smote Egypt's firstborn. So when God elevated Israel to the place to be identified as firstborn, they become by association now the people of God. They were the people of God by predestination, but the people is identified as a certain category or a group of people that are gathered together in one place or in one particular view. Then they gain this name called a people. So God, prophesying actually in the Old Testament, said those of us who were not a people, we would be called the people of God. So here now God is identifying them, and notice the claim that he makes upon them, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people. Now God's been silent for 400 years, and God hasn't hardly said anything at all, and they've been waiting on the prophecy to be fulfilled, for the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full in the land of Canaan. Remember, God's not going to go in there and just throw them out for any unjust cause. So he's allowing the balances of prophecy to line up on the both positive and the negative side. It's the same with us. We wonder, why isn't the rapture come? Well, no doubt there's probably some that's not in yet, some that's not born again, but no doubt also it must be prophecy that will line up on the positive side of the date line. Those prophecies are given about the bride. The bride will be this and this and this. And she'll be the power of God. She'll be the very deity of God. So on and so on. And on the negative side of the timeline, the church will become this. And the world will become this. And it'll be dark. It'll be chaos. So there's two lines that are running on this opposite side. And prophecies being fulfilled by both. That's right. And yet at the same time, God is making and molding a people. It's all going exactly right in time. You believe that, don't you? So these people are identified now. The iniquity of the Amorites is about reached its place. Now we know when they went inside the ark, prior to the entering into the ark, actually the land of Canaan belonged to the descendants of God. But once they come out of the ark, we're taught by history that whenever they come out of the ark, then Ham was the one who had these tablets that he had found where the old perimeters and the boundary was. So he wanted to go over and steal what was birthright belonged to them on the other side. So actually the birthright of the land went to them which was upon the mountain, and all the people that went down into the valley, and they started building their cities and their sin and so on. And God had raised this man up, Noah, him and his sons and their wives, and they were still upon what was called the holy mount of God. There they worshiped, there they talked to God, there they built an altar. And God of course gave them this land. It was the boundaries and the perimeters by which God told them what? Once they come out of the flood on the other side, then they go to taking it back over again. So actually the land of Canaan actually belonged to the seed of God in the first place. Then because of their unbelief, they were driven out. Then the evil one comes and takes it over again. Well, hallelujah. It's the same way with your body. Your body living or dwelling on this earth, calcium, potash, petroleum, cosmic light, whenever Adam was on the earth, your body was here in chemical form. Your body, you don't remember it, but your body was here. When Adam was here, he was here with him. So when the Son of God walked on the earth and had the book of redemption in his hand, you were here, identified in the state of perfection. Then when man fell, what happened? Your land became the possession of demons, a possession of diseases and devils. But remember, there is a promise. I will restore, says the Lord. You're going to get your youth back. You're going to get your eyes back. You're going to get your hair back. Praise God. Why? Because God promised it. Notice this, Leviticus 26, 11. I will set my tabernacle among you. My soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Now, there's only one nationality on the face of the earth at this time that God was actually calling his people. Well, who'd all the rest belong to? Well, there's only two bosses. There's only two kings. King of the cosmos and kingdom of God. So who do all the rest of them belong to? Well, if they don't belong to God, they belong to the devil. Notice again 2 Chronicles 7:14. I know you love this scripture as well as I do. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Who, if my people, which are called by my name. Now remember, this is the Old Testament parallel, but it also runs in tied with the New Testament, which is a bride. So there was one special class of people in the Old Testament that were called by God, my people. And yet there were millions of other human beings living on the earth at the same time that were not called his people. They were called people. Isn't it amazing what three letters does? H-I-S. That may not be that much to you, but you ought to be shouting about it right now. Hey, if we're just people, we're not much. But if we're his people, Brother John. Notice Isaiah 65:19. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. This is what God causes God to have a spell. God says, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. Money don't make God happy. God don't just, oh man, I made this big sale. God don't get happy over money. God don't get happy over gold and silver and, you know, all these precious jewels. What really excites God is his people. Notice this, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in, not everybody, but in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Of course, you know how Isaiah 65:66 is the millennium, seventh end of the seventh day, going into the eighth day. So it's a millennium going into eternity. Now, this is when God will really rejoice. Why, Brother Tony? Why will God rejoice when he sees you and I there? All the elected down through the ages, and God, oh hallelujah, God will joy and rejoice in his people. Notice verse 22, they shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant, this is the millennium, and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people and mine. Friends, election is not a doctrine founded by Brother Branham. Election is a doctrine founded by God. Election is not just a doctrine, it's an attribute. Those who fight it aren't fighting a doctrine. They're fighting an attribute of God. Oh, praise God. Notice in Hosea 2:23, I will sow her unto me in the earth. I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, And they shall say, Thou art my God. Praise be to God. Don't you see how important it is to say the same thing He says? That's us Gentiles. Oh, praise God. Notice now in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Revelation 18:4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. Can't you see why the majority of Christendom will never come out of organization? They are not His people. But if you're one of His eagle people, there ain't enough pasture chickens. There ain't enough hen houses. Oh, glory! Why? Your life will match up to Revelation 18:4. Come out of her, my people. This is what makes this so different in the world. Looks at us in the church world. Even some of your family say, something's got a hold to you since you started going to that church and since you started reading those books and listening to those tapes. I'm worried about you. I'm afraid you're getting into a cult. You say, no, I'm getting out of one. Well, glory. We're not getting into a cult. We're getting into Christ Jesus. We're coming out of her that we can go into Him. But will all people come out of her? No. They are her. They see no need to come out of her. And you didn't either. Till the voice caught up with you. You see, this voice was spoken 2,000 years ago. Come out of her. We didn't even know it. We didn't even have no identification with that. But one day the voice caught up of your seed. Oh, hallelujah. You said, I belong to this church all my life. My grandpa was here. My grandmother was here. But once that voice catches up with you, you say, so long. I'm out of here. Why? Because the voice of God called me out. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. So you see, being found in her at the rapture identifies you with her sins. Coming out of her and going into Him identifies your place in the rapture. Can't go on the rapture belonging to her. Now, because of that, God's people have always been a separated people. They're separated by many different things. We've looked at it before, of course, as far as the dress and the behavior, even the colors that they would wear, the way they would sow the crops in the field. They would not be allowed to sow two different types of seed. They could not have woolen and linen on the same garment. They would have to have a riband of blue on the bottom. So there was an identification that when the Jews come to town, you didn't have to wonder, is that a Hittite, an Amorite, a Baptistite, a church of Christ, what is that? You know by looking at them what they were. You knew they were a Jew. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now today, the sad part about it is you go to Walmart, you go to the mall, you go to Target, wherever you go to eat, wherever you go out here in the world, and you got all kinds of people. You got sinners, infidels, unbelievers, and so-called Christians. You can't tell which is which. By looking at them, they got shorts on, they're dressed in decent and godly. Come on, saints. So you look at them, there's no difference at all. Listen to the way they talk, cheat, lie, steal, whatever more. But God's people ain't that way. Now, notice this again. Let's look at these words that Paul used. Wherefore, come out from among them. 2 Corinthians 6:17. And be ye separate. Look at the word. To mark off from others by boundaries. Well, we're all the same. Not according to the Bible, we're not. And you see, this is one great dividing line between us and the world. They look at us and all this is a waste of time. It don't matter if it's what you dress. It don't matter if it's all God looks at your heart. I'd agree. God does look at your heart. And then God looks at your body and tells your body to obey what he tells the heart to do. And if God don't want his daughters looking like prostitutes and Jezebels, he don't want his men dressing up like women. Praise the Lord. Because the men in this day are trying to act like women and the women trying to act like men. Modern day man. Modern day woman. I'll tell you one thing. There ain't no man telling me what to do. Go ahead, sis. Go on to hell. I don't care what kind of surgery you have on you. Ain't it amazing that our doctors and our scientists spend millions and millions of dollars trying to perform surgery to change a woman into a man? And a man into a woman. Why don't they spend some of that money where we can all have good cell phone signal? We're sending people who want us to try to send somebody up on Mars and you got dead spots all over the country where you can't even receive a phone call. Why don't we take some of our money, our taxes, and try to figure out how to feed the poor? Well, amen, Brother Donnie. Notice this. Wherefore, come out among them and be ye separate again. To mark all from others by boundaries, to limit, to separate, to exclude as disreputable. To appoint, set apart for some purpose. Now I'm talking about his people now. Praise God. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And then after you separate and after you don't touch the unclean thing, then here comes the wonderful part. I will receive you. Now you see, it doesn't say he will receive you first and the unclean and the separation part don't matter. It's backwards according to Scripture. Well, praise God. Let me tell you something, friend. I was preaching holiness before I ever heard about Brother Branham. I can take my Bible and still preach a holiness sermon without reading one quote. The quotes only make it more simple to me and more identify the age we live in. God's Bible is the one that declares Bible holiness. That's right. Notice that God will receive us and recognize us as friends and positionally placed sons once we have seen the need and followed through with separation. And we know our entire life is a life of separation, and the final stage of that separation is separating from mortality. If we are alive and remain, then we will separate from mortality. If we go to the way of the grave, we'll separate from mortality that way. So our entire life is a walk of separation. Abraham goes called by God. God said, go out from among your people. What did Abraham do? Took his daddy along. Many folks have done that. They can only go as far as daddy will let them. Well, hallelujah. Well, Brother Donnie, I can see this, what you're saying, but my daddy don't believe that. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you worship your daddy then? Why don't you serve your daddy and see if your daddy can heal you when you get sick? See if your daddy can save you when you're lost. See if your daddy can give you a new body. I'll go ahead and tell you, he can't. If I was you, I'd serve God, put God first. Now, watch how God now identifies separation with recognition. Separation and recognition in the economy of God are tied together. It is not as the modern Christianity would like to be projected to us today. Oh, it has nothing to do with that. It's really nothing. God don't care if a woman wears makeup and all that sort of thing. What difference does it make to God if we have tattoos all over us? If God wanted you to have tattoos all over you, don't you figure he could let you been born with them? Oh my. Notice verse 18. After you're separated, I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Before the separation? Mm-mm. After. You see, folks who ain't willing to separate, there's always something wrong with their walk. That's right. He wants us to be different. Now, not different in the sense that we make ourselves different. I preached to you last time I dealt with this. I'm not interested in your view of holiness. I'm not interested in what a lot of the message folks think is holiness. I want to know God's view of holiness. Don't give me a bunch of man-made standards. I had a bunch of them at Pentecost, and I got rid of all that tradition. I don't want no more. I want to know what God requires. I want to know what God requires so I can walk in it. Is that right? Is that the way you feel tonight? Well, Brother Donnie, I think and I believe. I'm not interested in what you say. If you've got a quote, if you've got a scripture, then show it to me. I will be interested in receiving it. That's what I want to know. If God has called us to a place of separation, I want to know the boundaries and the guidelines. But I'm not going to make my walk with God based upon what this preacher said, plus what that preacher said, plus what that preacher said. Lord have mercy. We'll wind up being the crazy house by Saturday. We've got to go by what God's word declares. What I think and I feel. I'm not interested in what you feel. I want to know what the word says. Now, if people don't want to separate to Christ, of course that's their prerogative. But if you're a bride, there ain't no question about it. You will do it. You're called to walk a separate life. And the church said,
amen.
Notice this, Patmos vision. Have you ever noticed how the world gets into the spirit of things that is in the world? They go to their ball games, their sporting events, and their dances. They enter into the spirit of it. They don't set their lot wallflowers and old dried up sticks. They enter right into the feel. The feel. The feel of things and become a part of things. So you're at a ball game, a baseball game, soccer, football, whatever it is. Your team has hit a home run or touchdown. And that guy got out there and kicked that 1-point thing, whatever it is, and everybody's just screaming, hollering. You're just sitting there. I'm so bored. No, I'm sorry. That's what you do when you come to church. Forget it. I'm sorry. I got that messed up there. They scream. They holler. They go to the Super Bowls and all these games. The snow will be flying. It will be 0 degrees. They will have electric blankets. They will have hand warmers. They'll have all this stuff. And you come into church and it's 3 degrees or 5 degrees different than what it is at your house. And you're ready to go back home. I didn't get nothing out of the whole service. It had to be 3 degrees different. Oh my goodness. You ain't in the spirit of church. Oh, that mobile Brother Donnie gets cold. Well, I understand that. I'd sit there and warm my hands up if that's what I had to do. I'd sit there and fan 90 miles an hour. I'd do whatever I'd got to do and say, hey, I come here to have church. I'm having church. I come here to hear the word. I'm hearing the word. If I've got to bring me a blanket and plug it up, if I've got to wear wool socks, wool gloves, wool earmuffs, wool neck cart, whatever I've got to do, I've come to church to have church. I'm going to get in the spirit of church. I wonder how many of y'all has fixed your tractor while you've been in church. Or mowed your grass. Or went over your Walmart list while the preacher was preaching. Well, praise the Lord. I heard that Brother Chisholm had said he wanted to give y'all Happy Meals. Wow, notice this. He said, they don't set there like wallflowers, old dried up sticks. Wonder who he's comparing that to. Wonder who sets like wallflowers and old dried up sticks. Y'all got a few leaves up on top still blowing a little bit. We're nodders, not amenners. Nodders. You better watch that nod country. That's where Cain wound up going. Woo! Boy, that's a good one. Notice this, but oh, how they hate the Christians for getting into the spirit of God's word. Do you understand? It's not enough just to get into the Word. It ain't enough just to get into the Word. You've got to get into the Spirit of God's Word. Now, sometimes it may make you laugh. Sometimes it may make you cry. Sometimes it may make you shout, because you got to find the channel of what the Spirit of God is leading the Word through. But whichever way He goes, I want to be right in the middle of it. Man alive, if it's a crying night, I want to boo-hoo with the best of them. If it's a shouting night, I want to cut my heels together and I want to shout with the best of them. I want to flow with the Spirit of God's Word. Oh my, notice this. They call us fanatics and holy rollers. There is nothing they won't do to show their hatred and disapproval. Sad to say, these quotes can apply to folks in the Message that persecute you now. But this is what I do. Three great powerful words. You need to do the same. But ignore that. Ignore that. You can expect it knowing where it's coming from. Now, after you ignore it, then this is what we're supposed to do. Just go on and get in the spirit of worship. Just go on and get in the spirit. Why? We are the church. Listen to this. Our spirit is clean. It is fresh. It is real. It is sober and serious, but nonetheless full of the joy of the Lord. The Christian ought to be just as exuberant and full of His pleasure in the Lord as the world is when it savors and delights and in its pleasures. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. What are you doing this weekend? Oh man, there's a baseball game going on. Oh man, I can't wait. The Blue Jays is playing against the Cardinals, and the Pigeons are playing against the Groundhogs, and the Groundhogs are playing against the Foxes, and oh man, I can't wait. What are you doing? Church. Don't you go to that church that has church on Saturday night and Sunday morning? Yeah. Why do y'all have it on Saturday? I've wondered that myself. You'd think our pastor would know. We need Saturday night. What do you need it for? Tell me what you can do that's more important than coming to the house of God, hearing God's word, singing, worshiping. You might get healed. You might get delivered. Some of you might get the Holy Ghost. just go on and get in the spirit of worship. Oh, yes. The Christian ought to be just as exuberant and full of his pleasure in the Lord as the world is when it savors and delights in its pleasures. Both Christians and the world are human. Both have emotions. The difference is the Christian's hearts and emotions are purely on the Lord of glory and his love. While the world satisfies the flesh. So you've got these two tickets. Now y'all know I'm as dumb can be when it comes to sports. Okay? I don't mind telling you, I'm dumb. You want to talk to me about predestination? I'll talk with you. You want to talk to me about election? I'll talk with you. You want to talk to me about football, baseball, basketball, volleyball, anything pretty much to do with the ball? I don't know too much about it. But if you had two tickets and they cost the most money that you could get and you're sitting in this prime place and then you and your wife singing, "We're going to go, honey. We've got the tickets." "I know it. I don't know. You know how I'm about a big crowd. I can't go even go to church because of a big crowd." I don't understand that. You can't come to church because there's 400 or 500 people in church, but you can perfectly relax in a Tennessee football game with thousands. See, now there again, you can add that up to my ignorance that I just don't understand how all that works. Them big crowds just make me so nervous. We'll come to church then. We got a smaller crowd than they do. Brother Donnie, all that noise at church about drives me crazy. And then you go to Bristol? Some of y'all's mentally retarded. If you think I'm going to believe your lies, you're crazy. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Notice, so the people of God, you'll agree with me from the scripture, then the people of God are separated people. But the people of God are also a people of inheritance. Oh, glory, I love this. Exodus 34:9, and he said, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance." Can you imagine a prophet of God throwing off on these people and telling God they're hard-headed, they're stiff-necked, they ain't no count, and a bunch of rebels, but take us for your inheritance? It's like after you've run them down, after you've told all their faults, and then you offer it to God. Do you understand what that means to God? Do you understand how he wants you to be his inheritance? Deuteronomy 4:20. "But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day." Deuteronomy 9:26, "I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand." It wouldn't take much for God to bring out a perfect, sinless people. Oh, they're just the cream of the crop. They have no humanity left. They all walk about with angels, eat breakfast with angels, lunch with angels, supper with angels, tea with angels. My, they never have any problems. My, no. But God takes them and said, they're low down in their humanity. They still make mistakes. But God said, through the blood, it'll be one of the great. Oh, Brother Donnie, how I long to see miracles. Oh, I want to see miracles so bad. Let me tell you what God's prophet said. The greatest miracle that God has ever done is when he takes a sinner and turns him into a Christian. How come we only talk about miracles in the healing of the body? I'm looking at all kinds of miracles in this place tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Notice Deuteronomy 9:29, yet they are thy people and thine inheritance when thou brought us out by mighty power and by thy stretched out arm. Deuteronomy 32:9, for the Lord's portion. The Lord's portion is his people. Well, you probably feel the way I do. He got cheated bad. I mean, I get all the good stuff, and he gets me. The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Now, remember, parallel this with the bride in the New Testament. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Lord, children, we need a revelation. Do you understand? In your soul, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is treasures. Treasures beyond the universe. Treasures beyond the millions of stars and the billions and trillions of stars that are out there and the galaxies that they're continuing to find nearly every 6 months. They're multiplying it more and more and more, and God blowed it off, as it were, the dust of his hands. Yet he does not count that like he counts you. The Lord's portion is not Mars. The Lord's portion is not Pluto. The Lord's portion. Yes, us. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you say, but Brother Don, surely that can't be me, my humanity. No, it's not just you and your humanity. It's that which he placed in you that has nothing to do with your humanity. You are a people of inheritance. You are also identified in the scripture as a special people. You don't mind me talking about you now, do you? Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. You mean God can do that? Y'all do believe the Bible, right? The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Same Hebrew word now for the word special. Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandment, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Liquid. Now, if I want to anoint you, which one do you think I should use? But if I want to drink one, which one do you think I should use? Which one would you use? They're both at my disposal. If I want to drink the olive oil like an idiot, I can do it. Right? It's not advisable. But if I want to, I can. I have power over it. Or I can put the lid back on it. It served my purpose. I used it for an example. And I can take this one and make it one with my metabolism. This one has now become part of me. Why? I chose it. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 I had power over both. The potter, oh my, the potter, hath he not power to say, this is a chosen vessel unto me, and others he fitted to destruction. That's what Paul said in Romans 9. Why? He has power. God said, all people on the earth, I am the one who gave them their existence, but I've chosen you to be my people. Deuteronomy 14:2, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth. Psalms 135:4, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Malachi 3:17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I shall make up my, same word, special, peculiar, when I make up my jewels. Isn't it amazing? Wonder why God put rubies in the earth? Wonder why God put diamonds and gold and silver? Wonder why God put all these jewels and all these treasures and buried them? Well, isn't it amazing that man, how many ever years ago, started cutting out granite and cutting out onyx and all these different things, and people bringing them into the kitchens and using them for countertops and all that, and they laid in the core of the earth for thousands and thousands of years. And people never done anything with them, but all of a sudden somebody did it, and it becomes a craze. You know, oh my, you've got to have granite in your bathroom. You've got to have granite in your kitchen. You've got to have, and where did it come from? Out of the earth. Then it was brought out of the earth and mined somewhere, either in Italy or China, wherever it come from. And they run it through this great big machine, stand it up on its side and sand it. And they send it over wherever more, and they begin to work it and work it and work it. And they take that treasure and put it in your kitchen or in your bathroom. And you walk by every day and look at, oh, I love that piece of granite. Oh, I love that. I love that. Where'd it come from? Maybe buried hundreds and hundreds of feet down in the earth. It was there when the molten lava began to move upon the earth. Yet God hid it there. I love the way he does things. He knew someday people would go to cutting it out, and it wouldn't just be a mountain no more, but it would be part of their tabernacle. Part of their house where they would live. He done his word the same way. Hid Malachi 4 for years. Hid all kinds of things in the word. And then the light come on it that had never shone on it before. And people take that piece of granite word into their life. And all of a sudden they orchestrate your whole life around that word. What? So you receive this peculiar treasure, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then it transcends your natural birth, and you actually become the treasure yourself. Please don't misunderstand me. The Lord Jesus is not coming for our tapes. There'll not be one Bible going the rapture. Jesus didn't say, behold, I go away to prepare tape racks in heaven. And if I go away to prepare tape racks in heaven, I will come again and receive your tapes, that where I am, your tapes may be also. Or I'm going to come and get your message books. Or I'm going to come and get your Bible. He didn't say that. He said, behold, I go away to prepare a place for you. Oh, and he said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The rapture's not for tapes. It's for people. Notice, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my So he sends preachers out, anointed by the Holy Ghost. Maybe he lets you witness to somebody, and you witness to somebody. Laying down there beneath the dirt somewhere is a diamond or a sapphire or a ruby or some kind of jewel buried in some denominational system. All of a sudden, God uses you, and you begin to share the light. Praise God. God's still refining jewels. Notice what he'll do to them jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So God wants us to be different. God wants us to be a holy people. But we're also, can I go one more? We're a purchased people. Exodus 15:16. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. Talking about the people around them now. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord. Till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Psalm 74:2. Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old. The rod of thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed. This Mount Zion, which thou hast, wherein thou hast dwelt. Now what's the New Testament? Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Who? I thought Jesus did. Well, according to Luke here, God did. So Jesus was God. He wasn't no second person of the Godhead. Jesus was this little boy up there in heaven. He is the Godhead. He didn't have part of the Godhead, but Paul said the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in him. So God purchased his own blood, by his own blood, his wife. Notice this, again in 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's stand. Praise God. Aren't you glad you're part of the church? This church. That's why a man can't put you in. But the good thing about it, out, man can't take you out either. Woo, boy, I'm grateful for that. I'd have had my name took out a long time ago. All the message folks have done, they done kicked me out anyway. They think I'm a blasphemer and there ain't no hope for me. Well, they view me different than Jesus does. How many folks have done kicked you out? Ain't you glad Jesus bought you? You're not yours, you belong to him. Can I read you just a couple more? Just rest yourself there for a moment. We're a redeemed people. Exodus 15:13. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth thy people, which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Deuteronomy 21:8. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, for thou hast redeemed. And lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. Luke 1:68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Uh-oh. Luke had a weird idea, didn't he? Ain't that kind of strange, Luke, to say it that way? They were already his people before they were redeemed? Read it! He has visited and redeemed. Hallelujah. That's the church. I cannot imagine his anticipation. I hear the prophet said in the third seal, as he will rise from his Father's throne. You've been longing for the rapture for how long, Brother Dale? Brother John? You sisters? 20 years? 30? 40? 50? What if you've been longing for this for billions of years? That was just when time began. So what if you longed for a people and a city to take them to? You longed and you desired and you yearned for it for aeons of time, trillions of years. You see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the prophet said it could have been billions of years, millions of years after that,
when God started putting seeds into the earth. We don't know how old this thing is. But can you imagine a being there? Now, he's not a man like you and I. So he didn't have fingers, he didn't have eyes. But he was invisible. Immortal. A great light piercing the darkness. He loved fatherhood. So he chose to become a son. Strange. So out of this eternal being, I see a little white light as it just starts permeating out of this being, and like a flicker, just flickering, flickering. What was it? God giving birth to a son. And that son was the Logos, which would later become Jesus Christ. Now, you don't remember it, neither do I. But when that Logos went out of the eternal, you went out with him. If you'll ever be there, in the beginning was the Word. What was before the beginning? The eternal. So when did the Word become into form? When it comes out of the eternal and the Word. The Word. Not a few chapters and a few verses. The continuity of God's Word come out. So if you've got an attribute of God, and that attribute being your soul, which is the thought of God, a word, you come out with Him. Praise God. That's the church. That's why they love Him more than mama, daddy, brother, sister, church, churchianity, this doctrine, this person said. They love Him more than anything. Why? Their ties go farther back. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I'll tell you, my family ties go a long way back. And with that, I agree with you for the first thing you've said tonight. I agree. Our family ties go farther back than Reagan bonds. Bab. Yawns. Walker. Orndorff. Horniak. Goes back before the foundation of the world. Praise be to God. Don't you love Him, saints? Aren't you glad to be a part of His church? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads together, if you would. Oh, Father, what can we say? Our little minds to try to comprehend such a program. You would consider us a great inheritance. You would look at us and compare us to the universe, the stars, the atoms, the molecules. And you would say, I choose them. Praise God. You would look at the cherubims, the seraphims, the holy angels, which have never even thought a bad thought. Never one time lifted their voice in rebellion against you. The elect angels, we know that you made two kinds, elect and non-elect. And the non-elect were put on a probationary period. You knew they would fall. But the elect angels have never said one word that was wrong. They've never had to repent for one thing. But you said, I don't want them for my inheritance. I want my people. My redeemed people. My purchased people. Father, if you're going to give me something for all my labors, as I will condescend and become your human temple, I will become Jesus the man, because the Logos cannot die. So I will become the servant of Jehovah. My humanity will become the sacrifice, and you will reward me for that. This is what I want. What do you want? I want my people. Because I remember how it was in the Garden of Eden. I joyed in Adam and Eve. That day when they walked away and I had to come down in that garden, I was your pre-theophanic existence. And when I walked there in that form and Adam hid, I remember that lonely feeling. When I had to drive them out of the Garden of Eden, it didn't feel the same no more. So if they would have to leave, I would leave with them. So I went outside the garden gate with them after I told them I'd bring them back. And I let them worship me outside the garden because it didn't feel right. Hallelujah. So with all respect, Father, the stars are beautiful. The universes that you have made are spectacular. But for my inheritance, I will take my people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for choosing us, Lord. If we got what we deserved, Lord, it wouldn't be grace and mercy for sure. But you didn't just choose to save us. You chose for us to be partakers of your eternal inheritance. Your act of condescension continues on through the eighth day as you bring your great city down upon our mother. You had your prophet title his sermon, "The Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom and the Earthly Bride." So instead of you making us to come to live in heaven, we were not made to live in heaven. We were made to live on the earth. When we go to heaven, it'll only be temporarily, because we come from this earth. She is our mother. And we will return back. So you're moving here with us. Praise God. Because paradise will be restored. Thank you, Jesus. And where we are is your home. Home wouldn't be home if the bride wasn't there. We worship you tonight, Lord. Make it real to us, would you, Father? Thank you for letting us be a part of your church. You've called us and separated us to yourself, and for that we are grateful. Hey, let's sing a little something while we just worship. Can we just worship him just for a few minutes before we go? I know you kids have got school tomorrow, and I'll try not to keep you too long. But let's just worship him just for a little bit. Children, there must be something beyond you. There must be something beyond me that he would want more than a sinless universe. The universe never fell. The universe is exactly where it was. The earth fell. Everything else is right. There must be something in this body, and that one, and that one. That's beyond, I wonder if we even comprehend it, but that now those of us who are born again, that he would look at us and say, that's what I want to spend eternity with. They are my inheritance. All that he went through, all that he suffered, and he asked for one thing, that you could be with him where he was. I want one thing. Father, I would those that thou hast given me, that they may be with me where I am. You know what? I believe you're a real Christian tonight. That's what you want. I can't really relate to streets of gold, can you? Walls of jasper and all them beautiful things, all that. You know what? If heaven wasn't nothing but a bunch of log cabins and about like Gatlinburg. Just a bunch of mountains and bears roaming around. If Jesus was there, that's heaven for me.
Amen. Amen. I know you probably won't be able to understand it, but Jesus could say the same thing about you. If heaven was just a remodified Gatlinburg with mountains and beautiful streams and leaves and all that, and Jesus said, if my wife is there, that's heaven enough. Praise God. Sing there.
He knew me,
Lord Jesus.
Yet He loved me.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
He whose glory made.
Amen. Let's worship Him a little.
The heaven shine.
Amen.
thorns on his head. The blood ran down that scarlet robe and stained it crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. For he knew me, yet he loved me. His glory made the heavens shine. So yet he loved me. He whose glory made the heavens shine. So unworthy of such mercy. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. What a mighty God Jesus is.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, what a mighty God
I know.
Jesus is.
I'm trying to let you go, but it's hard.
Oh,
give him a hand. He deserves all of our love. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. So appreciate you being here tonight. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for your divine presence, Lord. Oh, Jesus, may we think about what we've heard. Oh, God, may we be able to line our confession with yours. When you say, I am your God, and you are my people. May we be able to say back, you are our God, and we are your people. Amen. Hallelujah. May we say it over and over again until we believe it. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Quicken your word to our hearts, Lord. If doctors say that our thoughts have such power over our bodies, that human thoughts directed in the right channel can be more powerful than millions of dollars worth of cancer drugs, that our bodies connecting with our thoughts can release the natural productivity of our bodies. Even our bodies built and made so where it releases things in our body that is very similar to Valium, calming us, coming from our thoughts. If that's just the natural mind, what could it do with a mind that's quickened by the Holy Ghost? We're not just talking about having clothes and a house and this and that. God, we want a rapture. We want a body change. We want our confession to line up to yours. You say there is a rapture, and we say, and we're the reason there is one. We're going in it. If there is one, we're part of it. Amen. We want to say what you say about us. Whether or not we understand it. Whether or not we even see it the way you see it. And we more than likely don't. But we're going to take you at your word. Go with us now, Father. Bring us back. The appointed time, we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. Remember the service this weekend. Brother Ron Peterson will be here with us Saturday and Sunday. Here for the wedding. And he's going to be participating in the wedding. And also I ask him to speak for us, so come expecting the Lord to speak to our hearts. Are you happy? Amen. Aren't you happy to be in the house of God? Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing as we go. God bless you. Shake hands with one another. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus. God bless you. I'll see you this weekend, Lord willing.
What a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God Jesus is. What am I?